Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Hotcakes, sausage patty, hash browns, scrambled eggs, biscuit, real butter and syrup. You know how our big breakfast got its name, and you know where your whole family can share one for just $6. McDonald's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Boomer and Geo.
PT and Sal.
Kevin and Tiki.
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Welcome to another episode of WFAN Daily with your host, Pete Hoffman. And congratulations, Yankees and Mets fans. Both are winners. It's like pop the champagne. We're off the schneid. Everything's good. The Yankees win by a score of 6-1. The Mets win by a score of 7-3. Everything is great. Everything is grand. 7-1, not 6-1. But everything is great in this world. And let's start with the Yankees as Jazz Chisholm. By the way, I give Jazz a little extra home on his last name, and that helps me not say Chaz Chisholm. So that's why I do it. Just an FYI to you. But Jazz Chisholm, he put a little revenge out there on Wednesday night versus the Reds, and it worked, and it was great. And you want to see it. First of all, you want to see Jazz go out there and perform at an elite level. And not saying that he is always elite, but in the third inning, crushes a home run. He scores Stanton, puts the Yankees up 3-1 again. This is not the first time the Yankees have had a 3-run lead in this series with Cincinnati. So it puts you in a spot where it's like, can they put up more than 3? Is that going to happen? And can Max Fried, who, by the way, pitched a fantastic game as well, 7 innings, no one runs, 7 Ks, 1 walk, now improves to 10-2, definitely going to be up there for your Cy Young Award winners this year, no doubt about it. But that being said, Fried's on fire. This is the guy that you can maybe win a 3-1 or 3-2 game or whatever the case is, even though, again, is he going to go deep into the game? You still got your bullpen. You have bullpen issues here and there at moments, but Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, can Luke Weaver be a lockdown guy? Regardless, Jazz put you in a spot to at least get you deep, get you in a position to maybe win this game, low-scoring game. But on the way, as he rounds the home plate, we see a little smile, a little smirk with him and Trevino. And yesterday, we find out that the culprit behind Jazz getting tossed was Jose Trevino, who was kind of nudging the umpire, like, "Hey, look at the third, look at Jazz, look at what's going on there." And Jazz gets tossed. And it's annoying. It's upsetting. Who really knows what Jazz said? I mean, obviously there was words being said. Couldn't calm him down. And Jose Trevino, smart guy that he is, knows, even though Jazz is calm, cool, collective most of the time, he was a teammate with him last year and knows that he has his moments. Has his moments of being a little uneven, a little hot-tempered, and easily getting under his skin. And that's what they did. And that was a smart move by Trevino. Understood what he had to do, understood the situation, and got him tossed. But a little revenge by Jazz, which was nice to freaking see. And then
morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Hotcakes, sausage patty, hash browns, scrambled eggs, biscuit, real butter and syrup. You know how our big breakfast got its name, and you know where your whole family can share one for just $6. McDonald's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The Yankees, you know, basically give up the one run, or Fried gives up the one run, yeah, unearned, by the way, that one run in the fourth. And then the rest of the team picks up, you know, Volpe gets a sac fly in top fifth, Judge with a nice double, Stanton, you know, sacrifices to get Grisham in, and then Austin Wells later on scores the seventh run. So good game overall offensively. You look up and down this spray chart, basically besides Volpe and Rice, everyone got a hit. Grisham with four. Trent Grisham is a guy, like, think about what Trent Grisham did in the beginning of the season, how he really carried the, once he started playing every day, carried the team, basically took that center field job and owned it, basically pushed Dominguez to the side for a while. So Grisham is somebody that if he can get playing time regularly, can do that. Now he's batting 250 at the moment, but still 4 for 6, 6 at bats. Good job out of him. 2 doubles. Good enough. Judge, listen, he even, this is not a slump by any means, but he's not going to go 2 for 4, 3 for 4, 3 for 5 every single day. Gives you 1 for 5. He strikes out twice, but he does get that double, the RBI double, which is was a big hit in the game, and that is the most important thing. Get hits, win games, and that's what Aaron Judge did. And Jazz, like I said, 2 for 5. The biggest issue with Jazz Chisholm, to me, offensively, no matter what he can do with his pop, with his speed, he's a great player, versatile player. He swings out of his shoes every time possible. And that's just going to cause him to have a lower batting average. And it's not very, you know, he needs more discipline. He needs more discipline, needs more control, and needs a better approach at the plate. And I bet he'll still get that home run. Still has that home run power. He'll still pack a punch. But he's going to need to be able to wheel it in a little bit. And that will drive his batting average up, more contact, more base hits. Personally speaking, I think that's what's wrong with baseball sometimes is everyone's looking for the home run, and they're forgetting that you could just drive in as many runs by just getting a single or a double here and there in the gap. That's just as good. Keep the chain moving. Don't strike out. Don't pop out. Jazz loves swinging from out of the shoes, and that was a Marlins thing. That was a Marlins thing that was always annoying everybody on the team. There was no discipline last year. So when Jazz moved to the Yankees, I mean, it just followed suit. You'd like to see something change there. Regardless, again, like I said, Max Fried, great outing for him. Cruz, another solid outing. Brubaker went in there, solid outing. So bullpen shut it down as well. It was a good must win for the Yankees, as now they are 4-9 out of their last 13. So that's good. That's a step in the right direction, right? Right. Like you said earlier on BT and Sal's show on Wednesday, bad news in a good way. Bad news in a good way. Well, it's in the last 13 games, now they have 4 wins. That's better than only having 3 wins, right? Okay, so that's good news. Then you look at the New York Mets, who Juan Soto had himself a day, and that he now has put himself in rare era already for the New York Mets, in a rare class, as he is the first New York Met to ever have 10 home runs, 20, let me figure the exact stat, what it was, 20 RBIs, and there was another 20 or something, maybe 20 base hits. I'm now blanking on what it was. But a very impressive 10-20-20 for Juan Soto, as he just – he's had himself a hell of a month, and there's still 5 days left. 10 home runs. This is his 27th multi-home run game. And he passes Jimmy Fox, who had it last before turning 27. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 20. Okay, here's a stat. 20 home runs, 20 runs, and 20 walks all in a single calendar month. I mean, when we talk about the struggles the Mets have gone through, the one person that has the struggles is Juan Soto. And the weird thing is, like, up until today, where those two home runs meant something, he took the lead early on with that solo home run in the fourth inning, you know, to make it 2-1. I mean, it's you think it's not that big of a deal, but it kind of is. Leads off the inning, solo home run. Alonso then gets on base. McNeil doubles. Marte sac fly. Brett Beatty gets a single, scores a run. But and listen, the Mets had needed a big inning like that. I need to see it separate a little bit too. But regardless, but Soto put that was, I don't want to say it's his Met moment, because the Tuesday night game would have been his Met moment. The Tuesday night game where, or sorry, the Monday night game, excuse me, the Monday night game where he's up two men on in the eighth inning. He's already hit a home run. If he can take one deep and make this a 5-3 lead for the Mets, then put in Edwin Diaz, shut him down, walk home happy. That would have been a Met moment. This is still great. No one's going to take away from the fact that he had two home runs and it was a beautiful display, and he's a great player, and now he's got 10 home runs in the month of June. He's got 20 runs scored and 20 walks. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. Is it his Met moment, though? That solo home run in the fourth inning, it doesn't feel it because it wasn't as big. It's great, but just not as big as what he could have done on Monday. So he still hasn't had that moment, but he's still performing unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about the Mets struggling, and Juan Soto is just on fire. So what that leads to me, what that means to me is Juan Soto, no matter how good he is not carrying this team. He's not the guy that the team revolves around, right? To me, it's Francisco Lindor. To me, it's Pete Alonso. When those two guys were hitting, the Mets were winning. When they weren't, when they haven't been hitting, the Mets have been losing. Juan Soto could do whatever he wants. Juan Soto was struggling all hell. Dude, he's had multiple games where he's had multiple home runs, and they still lose. So it's not about what Juan Soto's doing. It's really about everybody else. Okay? It's like, you know, it's like Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge can go apeshit crazy, but it doesn't make a difference if the rest of the team isn't performing. So Juan Soto had himself a day. It was fantastic to see. Got a little dicey, though, at the end of the game. Jonathan Pintaro, who just got called up, who didn't even pitch a game in AAA yet, but got called up. Exciting story, a background of how they found him, how they brought him in. Almost gave the game away, which would have been a brutal. I mean, let me tell you something. A story where it's 7-1, you bring in Jonathan Pintaro, it's his first major league game, it's the ninth inning, and he comes in and blows the game for the Mets, and they continue this terrible run of baseball. That would have been the icing on the cake. That would have been as bad as it gets. But thankfully, Mendoza came out, saved us all, saved the whole entire game. Brought Edwin Diaz to get one out, move on. But I'd like to see Jonathan Pintaro. Maybe it was just the nerves getting out of the first game ever, and you know, totally skipping AAA, just going straight to the bigs. I'm curious to see if he was a little nervous there or whatever. But he did get a big strikeout, so he wasn't terrible, but almost gave that game away. Clay Holmes goes into the five innings, 96 pitches. Again, this is going to be a problem. I keep on saying it. And now it's rearing its ugly head that the New York Mets have pitchers that could really only go five innings. I mean, David Peterson, will see what he could do, but it's really five innings, five innings, five innings, which means your bullpen is getting used and abused. And this is why, you know, Richard Lovelady came in and left, and why other guys are going to be up and down as soon as possible. I wouldn't be surprised if Huascar Brosbane gets sent down. He's got options. Eventually, maybe you're overtaxing him. Maybe he's going to have to get sent down. You had Waddell, Budo, Stanek, Pintero, and Diaz all pitch. Decent amount, decent outing for everybody except for Pintero, clearly, as he gave up two runs in two-thirds of an inning, as my dog is making an announcement. Yes, you're right. Pintero had a bad outing, but whatever. The tone setter, though, might have actually been somebody different. Not Juan Soto. Not even Ronnie Mauricio, who had a really good game, really good outing. He had three hits. He had the solo home run in the third inning, and then he finally got his first home run as a right-hander this season, which was nice to get off the schneid there. But let's go back to the first inning. Jeff McNeil robbing a home run. Was that what really set the tone for the game? And listen, I keep on dogging the fact that people want to get rid of Tyrone Taylor in center field and move on to something bigger and better. I like Tyrone Taylor. I think defensively he's good. Obviously, offensively he's very limited. But if you move Jeff McNeil there and he could show any semblance of a decent defensive player, I would be willing to put him out there and call Luis Angel Acuña back up and get him at second base. Because the one piece that I remember was a firecracker on this team, that was a spark on this team up until Jeff McNeil came back from the IL, was Luis Angel. I understand he may not have been, lighting the world on fire with the hits, but he was aggressive on the base path. He was good defensively. He gave you a little edge to him, which is what I like to see. And McNeil came in right off the bat that first game returning from the IL. He misplayed a ball that went up the middle that I think Luis Angel would have played easily. And then Tyrone Taylor had to come up throwing him, and he wasn't able to get the guy out at home. And they lost the game off of a simple play that I believe Luis Angel would have been able to get. My point is, Luis Angel should be the everyday second baseman moving forward. If you want to play Jeff McNeil in the outfield, rotate Nimmo, Taylor, McNeil, I'm all for that. But get Luis Angel back up here. I understand he wasn't performing, but he also wasn't playing. So how is he supposed to perform if he's not playing? That I think, is the next move the New York Mets should make. And if it means that you have to trade McNeil to do that and bring up Angel Acuña, so be it. So be it. See you later, Jeff. It was nice knowing you. Listen, good, but it was a good to tip the cap to Jeff. It was a great catch, rob a home run, and set a nice tone for the New York Mets. Overall, it was a good day, good evening for both the Mets and the Yankees to get at least a win here. Listen. Go out and win tomorrow. This is not over for the Mets. They have another game versus the Braves. They have to go out and win the next game. They can't just go and now, okay, we have one win under our belt against the Braves. That's good enough and move forward. No. You need more. You can't go out there and then fall flat on your face on Thursday. You can't do that. And then you go against the Pittsburgh Pirates and, listen, start a winning streak now. Go out there and win tomorrow. Go win on Thursday. And then go to Pittsburgh and take them to task. You're not seeing Paul Skenes. I know the pitching has been decent in Pittsburgh. And last time they were here, Pittsburgh got the better of them. It was their pitching is good, or at least they pitch against the Mets good enough. Let's put it that way. The Yankees, their next stop is back at Yankee Stadium. The A's come to town, the Athletics, the Sacramento, whatever you want to call them, the Athletics are in town, and that should be a good series as you hope the Yankees now build off of that. Athletics aren't very good. They have some good offensive talent, but they're not good overall. The 33-49, this should be a nice, fun weekend for the Yankees. Go out, you get a win, you're leaving Cincinnati with the win, you get a day off. Go back home. You don't have to deal with the heat. It's not going to be as hot as it's been the past couple of days. So you get to at least avoid the sweltering weather. Go out there and beat the crap out of these Athletics. That's what you got to do. Whether it's Judge, Jazz, Stanton, whoever, just take advantage of their poor performance on pitching. Just try to keep the ball in the ballpark against their offense. I don't know. They might get Shea Langeliers back, who is their stud catcher. If he's back, he's got some pop. Brett Rooker has obviously got pop, but you know how to prevent Brett Rooker from hitting a home run against you? Trade for him. Trade for him. I think whether you're the Mets or the Yankees, you could use a guy like Brett Rooker. So I'm sure, I think he just signed a very mediocre deal with the A's. So it's not a lot of money, but maybe you don't have to give up as many prospects. But go get Brett Rooker. He's somebody who should be on the trade block, as it always feels that the A's are always giving up something because they have nothing. And they're playing in Sacramento. What are they doing? What is it? All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily. And I know that there's an NBA draft going on right now. And let's be honest here. Okay. Evan Roberts, I'm probably pretty sure, is not thrilled with the Igor Demine or Demine, whatever his name is, pick. I'm sure that there was other guys. I can't believe that Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, two local kids, got picked both in the top five. Excuse me. I knew that was coming. I can't believe that both of them got picked in the top five. Like, that to me is amazing, that Rutgers had that much talent on their team, and yet they didn't do anything this past year. They had a good season, but it wasn't St. John's-esque level. They also drafted the Nets' Nolan Traore from France, so good luck with that. And they also have about another 35 picks in the next seven rounds. So there's not that many. But they do have the Hawks pick at 22. They got their own pick at 26 and 27. So they have a bunch of picks. The Nets, I don't know if it's going to do anything. I don't know if any of these guys are going to be good. But if you're a Net fan, I guess you got to be excited. Unless you make a major trade and get somebody. I know Evan was talking about Ace Bailey was the guy that I think he wanted to get. Make a trade. Maybe you can give up all your draft picks for Ace Bailey. Who knows? Anyway, thank you for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily. Again, I'm Pete Hoffman. You can always follow me at Hoff WFAN. We will have another episode of Rico Bronya on Thursday night. So get ready. Once the Brave series is over, we will have that Rico Bronya podcast. But I'll be back with BT and Sal Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then Saturday morning, I'm back on my 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. hosting shift on WFAN. You can always check it out at the Odyssey app or 101.9 FM, 660 AM, all that good stuff. And if you miss anything at all, you can always go to the Odyssey app and download, rewind, all that stuff. You don't want to miss it. BT and Sal, Boomer and Geo, Evan and Tiki, Keith McPherson, Chris McMonagle, anybody, Sean Marash, Tommy Lugauer, you name it, everybody and everything, all on the Odyssey app. Listen, good way to end a Wednesday night, but the Mets got to finish it strong on Thursday. At least split this series. At least split this series. That's all I'm asking. Split the series and go into Pittsburgh and try to get a three-game winning streak and go from there. Get some of these games back because it was nasty. I mean, the amount of games the Braves have gained because on the expense of the Mets has been disturbing. I'm going to sneeze, so let me run. But I'll be back tomorrow night again with another episode of WFAN Daily. Again, thanks for following at Hoff WFAN. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace.